Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 394th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is Proof That Satan's Behind Porn to Enslave Us. We're going to build around Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, which is all about a heart that's full of unbelief. It's not doubt from your mind, it's doubt from a wicked heart. And I think that comes from something called vice. Now, we know that word vice today, but we usually think about it in terms of a tool that's used on a workbench, and it holds something down, you know, something you need to work on. But Satan has a tool in his toolbox, too, to hold you and me down, and it's also called vice. And that's defined in the dictionary as an immoral or wicked personal characteristic. And the lawyers define vice as a criminal activity that involves or drugs. And the Bible calls these the works of the flesh. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. And listen to this, because it's really, really important to understand these biblical parts before we take the red pill. And this is another red pill moment, folks. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, and they are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things, so people do all those things I just listed, okay, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Try to make a law about being joyful. Ain't going to work. Same thing about being peaceful or good or faithful. You can't do it. And then St. Paul goes on further, and he distinguishes them when he writes to St. Timothy in his sect 22, and he says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. So he said, these are things we should grow out of, you know, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, not a wicked heart, like our focus scripture says, but out of a pure heart. You know, King Solomon called all of it meaningless. He wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know, last week I ended with a thought from this guy named Owen Benjamin, and I've really been inspired by him. He's the next generation coming along, so to speak. I'm probably about 15 or 17 years older than him, something like that, and I was really giving up hope for the new people. And this guy comes along on fire, lays everything on the line for truth. And what he said, and it was so true, folks, he said the real N-word in our culture isn't or do you know that you really can't politically say, you know, the N-word? That's not the real N-word in our culture. It isn't. It's the word no. And only when you can say no to your vices are you truly free. And I'm telling you, I agree with them. The establishment, they hate that. And that's what St. Paul meant when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So what's the big deal about sinning against our own bodies? Well, what it does is it separates from the living God, as we're told in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. And that's the focus scripture. Here the writer said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. And why does that happen? Because we've allowed our hearts to become wicked. Listen to what Paul warns us about the wicked in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? There's that kingdom of God again. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. So who are these quote-unquote unrighteous who won't inherit the kingdom of God? Well, they're the fornicators, the idolaters, the adulterers, the effeminate, the abusers of themselves with mankind, those committing sexual sin, those in vice, those in the vice from Satan. You getting it? So these unrighteous people, these wrongdoers, evildoers, the wicked, who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so that's pretty clear from the Bible. So what is this kingdom of God that they're not going to inherit? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, and please stay with me on this because it's so crucial to the red pill moment. Okay, so the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we can have righteousness and we can have peace and we can have joy through our inheritance in the kingdom of God right now. But how? How do we do it? In Christ or in or through the Holy Ghost. And this is not now like a, this is not for later. This is for now. We can be in the kingdom of heaven right now. You know, Jesus told the religious leader, Nicodemus, he was one of the Sanhedrin. Okay, so he was up there in John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked Jesus in the very next verse, well, how's that even possible, dude? I'm a grown man. And Jesus replied in verse 5, Verily, verily, that means truly, truly. And when you say it twice, it's really important, really true. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. How? In the Holy Ghost. And if we commit sexual sin, we won't enter into the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean if you have a sin that's upon you, you repent and you turn. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about habitual sin. We're talking about these sins that you favor. You know, these sins that you cherish in your heart. So we won't enter into the kingdom of God. And to enter into the kingdom of God, it requires that you be both born of water and the Spirit. Folks, are you seeing what I'm talking about here? Now, maybe you're thinking, well, okay, but none of that really applies to me, Bro Ken, because I'm born again and I'm free to do whatever I want. I can do this. I can do that. That's wrong, folks. That's not what freedom is according to the Bible. According to the Bible and the Word of God, true freedom is no longer having to say yes to sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 18, being made then free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. There's that word again, something that happens in the kingdom of God. In other words, just because we're out from under that old tyranny, okay, that doesn't mean we can live any way we want. In fact, some so-called acts of freedom are actually leading you right into bondage. They destroy freedom. You know, when you indulge in a vice, it could be your last free act, whether it's drugs, prostitution, porn. But on the other hand, surrender yourself to the ways of God, and this true freedom, liberty in the Holy Spirit, it never ends. And maybe you ought to do a message on the difference between freedom and liberty. You know, most people live their entire lives letting sin tell them what to do. But thank God, if you've started listening to your new master, the Logos, the one who commands us to be set free from the bondage of sin and live openly in his kingdom, what's he going to do? He's going to reap righteousness. He's going to reap peace. He's going to reap joy upon us. Plus, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So after we learn that we don't have to be told by our vices what to do, we can actually experience joy by listening to God telling us what to do. When he tells us to do something, he's saying, I want to bless you. When he's telling you not to do something, he's saying, hey, listen, dude, I don't want you to get hurt. So we can start living this wholesome, healed, put-together life with more and more, as Jesus called it, abundant life or living, coming our way each and every day. So work for sin your whole life, okay? Wallow in sin your whole life. And payday's death. But God's given us real life, eternal life, delivered to us by none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you're still not convinced, think about the story of the five wise and the five foolish virgins from Matthew 25. You know, Jesus explained the kingdom of heaven through that story. You know, there were 10 virgins, five wise, five foolish, and the five foolish, or those without God, okay, those not walking with the Holy Spirit, didn't bring oil in their vessels, okay? And they all fell asleep, and then they woke up when they heard the groom was coming. And the five foolish ones, without oil, said to the five wise ones, give us some oil, give us some oil. Our lamps are going to go out. And they said, we don't have enough to go around. Go get your own. So when they were out getting their own, the bridegroom came. They went into the wedding feast, and the door was shut behind them. And then when they got back a lot later, they were knocking on the door, and they're saying, Master, let us in. We're here. And he said, I don't know you. Do I? I don't know you. So the point here is stay alert. You have no idea when Jesus might return. So you can't be indulging in these vices because you won't have oil in your vessel. Okay? And he said that's how we get insight into spiritual matters. That's how we can be discerning. That's how we can live in righteousness. That's how we can live in peace. That's how we can live in joy. And that's exactly what the enemy doesn't want. So the truth is that vice will bind us. Sexual sin in particular, and specifically porn, it puts us in the dark. It screws our eyes shut, you know? It's like sticking fingers in your spiritual ear. You become a blockhead, okay? You know, the Bible refers to our bodies both as vessels and temples for the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, listen to this. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye are and have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 2 Corinthians 4:7, listen to this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That's how to manage and maintain your body, okay? In sanctification and honor. 2 Timothy 2:21, listen to this. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, these dishonors we've been talking about, these vices, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and met for the master's use. What's the use of them? What's the master want to do with our bodies? Fill us with the Holy Spirit. I mean, what a deal, huh? What a deal. And be prepared unto every good work. So stay with me here, folks, okay? The Holy Spirit symbolized by oil, and our bodies are his vessels or temples where the Holy Spirit wants to dwell. And the Bible tells us that our spirits are his lamps. Proverbs 20:27. Out of the New King James, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Now, if a lamp runs out of oil, what happens? Well, it goes out, okay? And then where are you left? You're left in darkness. And what happens when you're in the dark? You can't see. So your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and the Bible shows you all that, are left in darkness and directionless. And there's no righteousness. There's no peace. There's no joy in your life. That's what happens. In other words, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God or even see it for that matter. So how do we cause our lamps to run out of oil? By not having enough oil in our vessels. And how do we do that? By sexual sin. Remember 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Plain and simple, isn't it? So when we sin, I'm getting feedback here, folks. Don't know what's going on. Frustrating. Hold on one minute here. Okay. It's gone. That was strange. Anyways, when we sin against our bodies, okay, the vessels are broken. And then what happens if you had any oil in your body? Well, the oil, it runs out. Now, who would want that to happen to us? Who'd want to bind us by vice? Well, that's easy, Satan. And what's the best way in today's high-tech world to accomplish that? Internet porn. So let's get ready for another red pill moment here, folks. And we're going to see some things that may shock you, because I tell you, it shocked me when I researched for this.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Folks, all I'm trying to give you in these red pill moments is truth, tempered with love, as we operate in the agency and the power of the Holy Ghost. So I want to start this red pill moment with what you may consider a very bold statement, but I firmly believe this. Pornography is being deployed today as a psyop or a mind weapon to pacify, control, brutalize, and ultimately enslave the masses. I really believe that. And you may disagree with me, but all I'm encouraging you to do right now is to stay with me here, okay, and see if the information I'm sharing with you, what I want to present to you today, provided the Lord's willing, makes sense and then justifies the statement I just made. Porn's a psyop being used to pacify, control, brutalize, and ultimately enslave America. what I'd like to do, okay, is break this red pill moment down into 3 points, okay, on why I really truly believe Satan's using porn to enslave America. So I'm going to have 3 segments here, okay? First, I want to give you some medical evidence. It's out there, proven that porn's not only addictive, but debilitating, okay, and it destroys normal spousal relations, okay? And secondly, I want to look at some historical evidence that proves that vice has been used to corrupt society, okay, for a very long time. And that's one of the methods of Marxist revolution. And then thirdly and finally, and perhaps this is the most controversial, probably the most difficult part of the pill to swallow, it was for me, I want to call out the people who are behind this assault on our nation. So first off, let's look at the medical evidence, okay, of this damaging nature of porn. And it is. This assault on America through sexual perversion, it goes way back, okay? And I really think it kicked into gear. I'm not saying Sigmund Freud started it, but once he made his visit to the U.S. back in 1909, the wheels were set in motion, okay? So you could go back further. You could go back into the 1800s. You can go back even further than that to the Hellfire Group with Ben Franklin and all that. But I don't want to start there, okay, because this is where it started to go mainstream. So he was arriving into the New York Harbor. He came in on what was known as the George Washington, and they did a movie on this, okay? And he traveled with Carl Jung, okay, another psychoanalyst or psychiatrist. And he said to Jung, I don't think they realize that we're bringing them the plague. So during his visit, he only delivered 5 lectures, and they were all at Clark University. They had some serious funding, and you got to question, where'd that money come from? Where'd all that money come from? Gating an incomparably freer sexual life. So he just wanted free love. He wanted everything to go. He thought that, listen to this. This is what's really crazy. Anti-Semitism, okay? He called it a universal pathology, having its roots in sexual repression. And he said the cure for it's sexual liberation. So let me translate what Freud was saying. Instead of picking on the Jews, why not just chill out and have some recreational sex? Seriously, that's about what it boiled down to. Recreational sex would solve all of our problems. How's that working out today with all these hookup sites? Tinder, I learned that. That's a new one, Tinder. I didn't know that was a hookup site you put on your phone. And I'm really behind the times, folks. But so Freud's thinking that recreational sex is going to solve all of our problems. He called it the great liberator, okay? And declared that all political, economic, societal problems will be solved by sexual activity, okay, free sexual activity. He even said it would cure oppressive and addictive sex. It did just the opposite. That's the truth. And this misdirected sex, especially internet porn today, it's been proven to be extremely addictive. Now, Freud knew his ideas were radical, and he knew they wouldn't be embraced by most of the medical community of the time. So you know what he did? He made sure that the radicals in our country were there. People like Emma Goldman, a Jewess, okay, who was an anarchist and one of the key people in the whole anarchy movement of the early 20th century. She even influenced, you probably heard of Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood and eugenics and all that stuff. Did Sanger bring us contraception? In fact, Sanger coined that term birth control, and that was a crucial element to the sexual revolution of the 60s. We would not have had that free love if there wasn't free birth control. Freely available, I should say. And then 2 other pivotal characters in this sexual revolution, this snare that America has been drawn into, was the pretty infamous Alfred Kinsey, and they did a movie on him. And then a little-known contemporary of his, which is very important to follow this red pill here, Wilhelm Reich. And you've all probably heard of the Kinsey Report, you know, where this guy tried to normalize sexual perversions in men and women. Did you know he was a zoologist? He wasn't even an MD. But have you ever even heard of this guy, Wilhelm Reich? Well, you know, Reich was known as the high priest of, and excuse me, but this is what he was called in a book by another doctor known as E. Michael Jones. But anyways, this Reich was known as the high priest of the masturbation industry. Yeah, that's right. You could read about it in Libido Dominandi, okay? And I just encourage you to learn more about Kinsey and Reich. And just read this book by Michael Jones, Libido Dominandi. It's in Latin. But the book's not written in Latin. The title was. So these two revolutionaries, they claimed that sex was the cure-all for society. So they're just picking up on what Freud said, the new opium of the masses, okay? And listen to what Reich once said. This is a quote from this goon, Wilhelm Reich, okay? If people cannot have bread, let them eat cake. If they cannot have jobs, security, fulfillment, and a valid purpose in life, let them have sex as a substitute. If nothing else, recreational sex will provide a useful distraction and give people something to do. So they knew exactly what they were doing, folks. Here's Reich picking up on Freud's view of just free love, laissez-faire sex, you know? And this dude, he believed that masturbation was a useful tool. And why did he call it a useful tool? Because it produced well-balanced individuals without religious hang-ups, okay, or anti-Semitic attitudes. Now, Reich's major finding, and this is very pointed here, very pointed to the whole message, okay? What was his major finding? He discovered that masturbation and religious life were incompatible. That's why he promoted it. He called masturbation the most effective means of eradicating religious instinct. You seeing how this all fits together with the principles that St. Paul taught us nearly 2,000 years ago? Now, he considered religion the ultimate evil. Now, this Michael Jones, he's the editor of Culture Wars. It's a magazine. I think you can get it online. And listen to what he said. What Reich discovered was a fundamental truth of sexual politics, one discovered by the Catholic Church long ago. Either masturbation destroys your prayer life, or prayer destroys your ability to enjoy masturbation. These two forms of activity, exclusive. Did you hear that, folks? That's exactly what St. Paul was teaching St. Timothy almost 2,000 years ago. So these two clowns, Kinsey and Reich, they went on to become the godfathers of the sexual revolution of the 60s. In a sense, what they did is they duped America by their pseudoscience to get most people to believe that recreational sex was okay. But it's not okay, and they knew it. They called it the opiate, okay? And if you want to learn more about how it literally is an opiate on your brain in terms of changing brain patterns, just like drugs like opium would do, the best website I've found is yourbrainonporn.com, okay? Yourbrainonporn.com. And if you can't find it, just email me. I'll send you a link. It was founded by this doctor, Gary Wilson. And now he claims to be an atheist. And I'm not holding that against him because on all these matters, he's right on target. Okay, he doesn't believe in God. I just believe the Holy Spirit's going to work on this guy because I'll tell you, he's right on. He shows how pornography affects the human brain and body. This site's extraordinary. Okay, check it out. Okay, I just really encourage you. I put some screenshots from a TED Talk he did. And that might be a good way to just get introduced to this whole science of the opiate nature of pornography. You can find it on YouTube. It's titled The Great Porn Experiment by Gary Wilson. It was a TED Talk in Glasgow over in the UK. And right now it has over 11.6 million views. So people are waking up to this, folks. Now, the medical studies, they've proven that the brain's affected by porn. And that's because of this excessive stimulation is producing dopamine, and then that creates this vicious, insatiable cycle that can't be stopped. It just goes on and on and on. And then it leads to all sorts of psychoses and various psychiatric issues, depression, ADHD, anxiety, OCD, and of course, ED, which what do they do now? They sell you boner pills. Isn't that exactly what Reich started? Isn't that what he meant when he said, if people can't have bread, let them eat cake? If they can't have jobs, no valid purpose in life, just to let them have some sex. Recreational sex is a substitute. And if nothing else, it'll be a distraction, a useful distraction. For who? For them? No. For the powers to be. It gives the people something to do. So there's ample evidence out there in the medical history. This Wilson, he just has reference after reference after reference. of very good papers. Okay? And he shows this link between porn and addiction and how porn's crept into our culture as the primary constituent of Americana today. It's become that, okay? And that's not my words, okay? That's the words of Nathan Abrams. And it's in an article. And I'm going to share that with you. I put the cover to the article up on the screen. I have a copy of it. But there's going to be more of Abrams in section 3, okay? So now we looked at the medical evidence, and it's out there. I want to encourage you to look at the historical evidence that vice is used to society for the intended purpose of upheaval or revolution, okay? So now before I get into this, I just want to read a couple quotes, okay? And before I even read the quotes, I just want you to know the Luciferians, they know that when people spend countless hours, okay, in search of sexual stimulation, they aren't going to be in their right frame of mind to stand up or mount any kind of resistance to tyranny, okay, or become any kind of threat to the rich and powerful. The Luciferians know this. They know the Bible probably better than most Christians, okay? Listen to one of them, and you've probably heard of Giuseppe Mancini. He's the one that talked to Albert Pike about the three world wars that needed to be done. He was what's known as a carbon burner from the Italian mafia back in the 19th century. He said, we corrupt in order to rule. And then George Orwell, okay, very, very prescient. In his novel, 1984, I'm going to read this quote. There was a whole chain of separate departments dealing with proletarian literature, music, drama, entertainment generally. Here were produced rubbishly newspapers containing almost nothing except sport, crime, and astrology. 5-cent novelettes, films oozing with sex, and sentimental songs, which are composed entirely by mechanical means on a special kind of kaleidoscope known as a verificator. Did you know that most of the music today is written to a tonal value that induces a beta wave state? Did you know that most of the lyrics are written by two people following a rhythm that induces a beta state, highly suggestive? Okay. And then he goes on, and Orwell says, there was even a whole subsection known as pornosec. It was called in newspeak, engaged in producing the lowest kind of pornography, which was sent out in sealed packets and which no party member, other than those who worked on it, was permitted to look at. Oh, interesting, isn't it? Send it out to the masses. So porn's become this all-pervasive issue in our culture, okay? And it's accepted. I was driving up to the plant maybe last summer one day, and I see this bumper sticker, I heart porn. I heart porn. Like I heart radio. I love porn. And it is, you know? It's just, it's everywhere. It's permeating our society. Look at the music videos. Look at some of these award shows and just the crazy outfits, the fashion world, even in TV and the movies. And what's it all about? Well, it's the deification of the naked, fertile female, okay? And the lingam. That's the penis, okay? You know, like the obelisk and all the old temples. Raw graphic depictions of animalistic sex. That's what it's become. Even romantic love, okay? And I know this may shock you, but romanticism, remember what Orwell said up there in that quote? You know, 5-cent novelettes, okay? The psyche has been turned to this by romantic poets and authors of the 19th century. And that was laying the foundation for pornography. That's not the 1 Corinthians chapter, 13? The discourse on love. That's not the love that we're supposed to have for our spouse, folks. Not that romantic love. What can I do for you? What can you do for me? If you can't do anything for me, I'm going to dump you. So all this has been pounded into our psyche. First by these romantic poets and authors, 19th century, then through our movies. And now today it's hardcore porn. And did you know it's subsidized by the central bankers? These free porn sites and all that. Follow the yellow brick road, folks. I don't even have time in this message to get into that. Bottom line, we become what we worship, idolatry. You know, the Nazis, they corrupted Poland after they conquered it. And listen to this quote out of this book titled Poland Under Nazi Occupation. It was published in 1961. This is on page 218. The authorities, these are the Nazis, turned a blind eye to the illicit distillation of alcohol. In Warsaw, gambling halls were opened, which only Poles were allowed to attend. Prostitution was tolerated. The printing and distribution of pornography were encouraged. Did you catch all that? Casinos, prostitution, porn. Kind of sounds like America today. Aren't they advocating for the legalization of prostitution, some of the Democratic candidates? You know, we had this vote for slot machines probably 10 years ago. And I told everybody, you vote for that, and they're going to have table games and everything else very shortly. And it's going to be everywhere. It's not going to be kept to the casinos. Well, we have table games at the casinos. You don't have to go to Las Vegas. Now just go down to Pittsburgh. And guess what? The slot machines are now in all the convenience stores. I went to the local grocery store that donates to Sozo's every week. And they have a little coffee shop. And there are slot machines in the coffee shop with the revenue tags on from the state of Pennsylvania. Casinos, prostitution, porn. And porn's the favorite weapon of a lot of people that are conquering a nation. When Israel took over Palestine, okay, and they took over the TV stations on the West Bank, they broadcast porn. If you're interested in that, I can send you proof. Just email me. U.S. did the same thing when they invaded Iraq. Porn was all over the place. I can send you proof on that. So what I'm saying, folks, porn is like crack. Porn is like opium. Talk about opium. How about back in the 19th century? The British fought the opium wars with China. Why? Because China's authorities were waking up to what this was doing to their country, and they fought back. Past 50 to 100 years, this weapon, this free sex has been weaponized in our country, okay? And it's setting all kinds of societal norms today, okay? But it's just the tip of the iceberg, believe me. I'm telling you, it is. The Luciferians have known this all along. Listen to this quote from this Zionist named Nathan Abrams, okay? This is right out of this magazine, the Jewish Quarterly. I have a copy of it. I put the cover page up on the screen. If you speak disparagingly or disapprovingly about the prevalence of pornography in America nowadays, young people ask, well, what's wrong with porn? And this confirms that pornography is a primary constituent of Americana. Here's another quote, and you can find this in his article, Triple Ethnics. And this was in Jewish Quarterly magazine, February 28, 2013. I have a copy of it right here, folks. I'm reading right off of it. A story little told is that of the Jews in Hollywood's seedier cousin, the adult film industry. Perhaps would prefer to pretend that secular Jews have played and still continue to play a disproportionate role throughout the adult film industry in America. Jewish involvement in pornography has long history in the United States, as Jews helped to transform a fringe subculture into what's become a primary constituent in Americana. These are the true blue Jews. You hear this? This is written by a Jew. This is out of Jewish Quarterly magazine. Now, before you call me anti-Semitic, because I'm not, let me ask you a question. When you hear the word Jew, what are we talking about? Is it a race? Is it a religion? Is it a political movement? Well, folks, I'm talking about Zionism, okay? And Britannica, go on to Britannica and look up Zionism. Zionism is defined as Jewish nationalistic movement. Jewish nationalistic movement that had the goal of the creation support of a Jewish national state in Palestine. A political turn was given to Zionism by Theodor Herzl, an Austrian journalist. So it's both political and nationalistic. Did you hear that? Isn't that what we're getting beat upon by the mainstream media today? If we love our country, we're being called nationalistic. And if we're nationalistic, we're bad. But that's what Zionism is. Zionism, let me say it again, is nationalistic. Zionism is a nationalistic political movement. It has nothing to do with race or religion. Don't call me racist. Don't call me anti-Semitic. I'm not. And did you know that many atheists are Zionists? Or should I say many Zionists are atheists? So it has nothing to do with religion. And you don't believe me? Well, here's a short list of Jewish atheists, okay? And you probably heard of all of them. Albert Einstein, Woody Allen, Mark Zuckerberg, Karl Marx, Daniel Radcliffe,
Nina Hartley. I didn't know who she was. She's a porn star. Sigmund Freud. Jack Black. Everybody knows Jack Black. Billy Joel. Ayn Rand, the author. Bill Maher and Carl Sagan. You ever hear of any of these folks? All Jewish atheists or at least agnostics. So let's be honest here, folks. Okay, let's just be honest. Zionism is not racist. Speaking out against Zionism, I should say, is not racist. What I'm doing is not against the people of God, you know, God's chosen people. So don't call me anti-Semitic, and that word's been twisted, okay? This is all about an elitist political movement with none other than world domination. That's at its core. But wasn't Jesus a Jew? Well, yes and no. That word has been so misused over the years. Yes, Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, but he wasn't from Judea. So are you referring to Jew as somebody from Judea? Or are you referring to a Jew as somebody from the tribe of Judah? In fact, listen to this. In John 7, chapter 1, after these things, so Jesus was doing miracles. Jesus was speaking out to the religious establishment. Listen to what happened. Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. So was Jesus a Jew? Well, it depends on what you mean by Jew. He was at odds with the Pharisees. We know that. And did you know that most of the Pharisees weren't even ethnic Jews or out of the tribe, you know? He called them political opportunists. And I think that's what he was talking about in Revelation, where not once but twice he referenced the synagogue of Satan. So bottom line, most in the porn industry today are in Jewry, okay? Tried to kill Jesus. They're cunning serpents from the synagogue of Satan, folks. These aren't the people, you know, with the yarmulkes on, going to temple, observing the Sabbath. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? And if you still don't believe me, listen to this quote from Nathan Abrams, okay? This Zionist, Jews in porn is the result of a primal or tribal hatred of Christian authority. They're trying to weaken the dominant culture in America by moral subversion. I didn't write this. A Zionist did. And he's almost happy with it. And then he goes on to, in this article, reference this guy named Al Goldstein. He published this magazine called Screw. And pardon me for the harsh terms, but I have to communicate this information, okay? So this guy named Al Goldstein, a Jew, okay, published this magazine called Screw, and you could just imagine what it's all about. And Dr. Abrams was very happy to quote him. And this is what Al Goldstein said, and I'm quoting Al Goldstein, folks, and Lord, to surround this message with the Holy Spirit and understand that I'm quoting a man who promotes porn, a Zionist who promotes porn. The only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think that Christ sucks. This is a direct quote from one of these pornographers. So this Dr. Abrams, he's not telling this because he's appalled by it. He's actually proud of it. He's proud of this Jewish domination. That's the tone in this article if you read it. He's proud of the domination that the porn industry has accomplished in America today. And then there's Abram Foxman, the national director of the ADL, another Zionist. He embraces this liberal idea of porn, okay? And he thinks it's a good thing. He ignores the countless victims of porn addiction and all the women that have been abused in this. And he says, it's a good thing because many Jews have grown rich on exploiting these addicts. Well, I added that last part, but many Jews have grown rich. So he says, it's a good thing. And then this Dr. Abrams, he goes on in the article to write, the Jews are the driving force behind the modern pornographic industry. And their motivation is in part to destroy Gentile morals. You know, they call us goyim, cattle, useless eaters. So porn's a battle between Christianity and these Zionistic Jewish pornographers, with the Illuminati Jews behind all of this, funding it. And folks, I'm telling you, quite honestly, the synagogue of Satan's win it. In Dr. E. Michael Jones' book, and he's a Catholic that's out there speaking out against all this, he wrote this book recently called The Revolutionary Jewish Spirit. I think that's what it was called. Let me see here. No, the Jewish revolutionary spirit. I didn't have it written down with the quote. And he characterized modern history, listen to this, as a hate-filled subversion of civilization by Kabbalistic Jewish bankers and their Freemason proxies who have usurped Gentile leadership. And I'm going to add that this satanic process of subversion, it's nearly finished, folks. So nearly everyone, including the Jews, have been duped into advancing this collective suicide. It's happening right before us. And what's the end game? The New World Order. And their careers depend upon it, so they don't speak out. That's why I like Owen Benjamin. He just spoke out. He didn't care. And they tried to punish him financially. God bless you, Owen. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm praying for you. You know, these Kabbalistic bankers, they just... They get their tentacles like those at Octopus. They get their tentacles into all these different areas of our culture. Banking, media, entertainment, porn, pharmaceutical, law. You know, most of the Supreme Court justices are quote-unquote Jewish, yet they're what percentage of our population? Shouldn't this make you wonder? And then the Jew from the Bolshevik Revolution, Leon Trotsky, said, pogroms, that's genocides, you know, planned genocides, in which the rank and file of the Jewish nation suffer, serve the useful purpose of keeping them in absolute dependence on their leaders. You know, once Lenin, when he was explaining how he would control the masses, picked up a chicken and started plucking its feathers. It was squawking. It was going crazy. And he said, watch this. He set it down. That chicken followed him wherever he went. In which the rank and file of the Jewish nation suffer, serve the useful purpose of keeping them in absolute dependence on their leaders. And then Dr. Jones says, this is just another way of saying that Trotsky's promote revolution and the Bronsteins suffer for it. So the haves stir it up and the have-nots shed the blood for it. So this is why I say that Satan's enslaving America through porn, folks. And I can go on and on this. If you're interested in this or if you have a loved one that's addicted to porn, contact me. I can get you some more information. It's an eye-opener. It really is. I believe porn addiction is a form of satanic possession. And I think it's all related, you know, sex addiction, porn, promiscuity, because it quenches the Holy Spirit and it leaves those in Satan's vice. And when they're caught in Satan's vice, their lamps go out because their vessels leak all the oil out, the Holy Spirit, and they're in spiritual darkness. I'm not saying this is about matters of salvation. This is about matters, not justification, sanctification. Okay? Are you going to be able to see? Are you going to be able to enter the kingdom of God? You know, anonymous sex, apart from agape love with courtship and Christian marriage, it's extremely degrading, especially for the women. And you want to know what's next? What's coming next if we don't stand up, if God doesn't say Jesus, God the Father doesn't say Jesus, now's the time, and Jesus doesn't raise from that throne and come down for us? We're going to see pedophilia, incest, and even bestiality become mainstream. I'm starting to see little things about it in the think tank articles now. Mark my words, folks, I'm telling you, if Jesus doesn't come back soon, we're going to see these perversions. They're going to go mainstream very soon. The truth is that sexual liberation is really enslavement. That's how Satan works. Everything's opposite of what's claimed. Evil's portrayed as good and vice versa. You know, St. Augustine said, a man has as many masters as he has vices. So just think about how much easier it would be to create a police state if the people just line up and literally enslave themselves by their vices. But you want to know the good news, folks? And praise the Lord for this. I'm a Christian, and I'm in Christ, and I hope you are too. Because as Christians, we're being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So now there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus and walk not after the flesh, but after His Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you and me as believers free from the law of sin and death. We can't be bound by this. Praise the Lord. Folks, I love you all, and I hope you're not offended by what I shared today. This was just a red pill moment you had to hear. But remember what Jesus said, folks. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents, yet as harmless as doves. I love you all, folks. Let's just lift it up.
I am a Christian, and my name is Pilgrim. I'm on a journey, but I'm not alone. Jesus. is with me, and he goes before me, and his love surrounds me, he's leading me home. One step at a time for now, just keep your feet on the ground, don't lose your way chasing the crowd. It's where your road begins, don't stop, don't settle in, just tell yourself that something more than this. Just tell yourself that something more than this.
Give it.